www.ecoagro.net. And now, as promised, in studio with me, another sponsor of this show, Sherry Blair of Sherry Blair Financial Services. And let me tell you just a little bit about her before we get started chatting with her. She has been serving and empowering women, business owners, and families with financial services for over 24 years. You'd never believe it to look at her. She started when she was six. Her journey in the business world began managing real estate portfolios and quickly evolved into an asset management position. From there, she became a commercial real estate broker, facilitating property sales across Southern California. Then she joined MetLife Financial Services in 1994, where she soon realized she had a passion for helping women. And that's one of the things we love the most about her. This passion drove her to creating and presenting empowering informational seminars and workshops to educate, support, and inspire women financially. And I know because I have been to one of those workshops, and it was amazing and great fun and an absolutely fabulous afternoon. She will be doing one of those again, and we will be sure and let you know when that's coming up. Most recently, she started her own business, Sherry Blair Financial Services. And I think that the cornerstone of that and all that she does is that she believes that client relationships must be steeped in trust. And this is a lady that can be trusted. So without any further ado, welcome Sherry Blair.
Well, hello, Paula.
So good to have you back again.
Oh, I always love to be here with you, Paula.
So a lot of you who follow the show know that Sherry and I have been talking a lot about financial literacy in retirement. And the short story of how that began was that I found a test online called the Financial Literacy Gender Differences Assessment or something of that nature.
That's right.
And I took the test and I failed it badly. And so Sherry, who is a financial consultant, and I were talking about that. Why did I fail it so badly? And is it common that women, especially women of retirement age, are not really financially literate? They don't really know the wise ways to deal with their money. They don't really know how to make it last. That's what Sherry's all about, teaching people. So Sherry, we were talking also about the impact of a long-term relationship on financial literacy.
Right, we were.
So let's
share
with our listeners a bit about that.
Right. Yes, we talked about why your long-term relationship could be harming your financial literacy.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you know, the whole show has been discussing divorce.
I know, I think that's interesting.
You know, now it's kind of funny that we're sort of saying, okay, if you don't get a divorce, you may be in trouble in another area here, your financial literacy. But we're going to learn how you can keep your marriage together and still be financially literate.
There you go. So we know that long-term relationships, Paula, come with lots of advantages.
Yes.
And it also could it also be that they may be harming you financially, your literacy?
Is that possible? It doesn't seem to make sense because you'd think you'd be more stable. Now there's two people looking at the money. And
right.
So what's the downside?
Well, the Journal of Consumer Research points out how the uneven distribution of responsibility for financial decisions and knowledge among couples in committed relationships can be set an individual partnership in diverging paths.
Okay, so explain a little bit more about that. So is that what you're saying, that normally, like traditionally we know, the man's supposed to manage the money? That's how it was done in a lot of our parents'
and
homes.
Absolutely,
right?
Our parents, and I think for myself and mm-hmm. you that we've talked about
yeah.
that, and actually a lot of my clients, mm-hmm. a lot of my clients, that is so, yeah. So yeah, we have discussed this topic before, mm-hmm. and I think it's important to address because I believe it can harm financial literacy, as I see this with clients and people all the time, and we know it's very important for all of us to be independently and collectively financially literate.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
You're saying, ladies, don't let your man just do it all and not be informed about what's going on.
That's
right.
That's right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your daughter, my son, you know, the younger generation, that, you know, they're not, you know, they're not our age. They haven't gone through all these things. Right. So they need to start right now.
Start.
If they haven't already, they need to start speaking about finances with their partners, making it more of an equal, you know, put some equality in that. If one, I like to say that there's a household CFO, and then there's one that's a non-household CFO. So it's the household CFO's responsibility to bring along the non-household CFO. So let me talk about this.
Yeah.
So what happens when a couple gets, when they get together, one partner takes on the household financial responsibilities, the task, and the other focuses on other responsibilities, usually in a marriage, isn't that right?
Okay. Right.
So which, and as the relationship progresses, the partner who has taken on the role of what is called the household CFO that I just shared.
And if we were looking at men and women, traditionally, is that the woman?
The
household CFO?
Traditionally, the household CFO would be the man if they're taking care of the financial matters.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So if they're taking care of the financial matters, that's the household CFO, chief financial officer.
Yep. I knew that part, but I wasn't sure who was the household and who was the outside.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in the role of what we call the household CFO, that they increase their level of financial literacy as the years go on. Mm-hmm. Think about it. So if you're handling the finances and you're reading about it, you're maybe talking to an advisor, you're watching, you know, your money, the market, the, you know, your budgeting, you know, even if you discuss those things with your spouse or your partner, the idea that you're getting more exposure, you're becoming more informed, you're educating yourself, the financial matters become, the partner that's not managing the financial matters may become stagnant.
Sure.
And even decline in financial competence.
Yeah, that makes sense. Especially as we're getting older, if we're not reading something or talking about it a lot, we don't think about it, it goes away,
right? So I know that I saw this in my own family with my mother. Mm-hmm. And because my father just so naturally handled the finance, he was the businessman, he was a money man, all these things. You know, my mother, obviously, it was just her way. She'd always seen that. She gave that power to my father.
Yes.
And as the years go by, it wasn't that she wasn't intelligent or she didn't have the ability. Mm-hmm. It was just that he was the one that took all the control. And so the financial, made all the financial decisions, took the control, and it just kind of left her behind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the longer the relationship, I see it that the longer the relationship lasts, the greater the financial illiteracy between the, you know, illiteracy between the partners. It grows, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
And I think what happens for a lot of women, because they already have their hands so full, even when the children grow up, you still got to keep in touch with them. You may have grandchildren you're taking care of. You know, there's a lot of pieces. So a lot of them just go, phew, don't have to worry about that. He's handling that.
No, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. It's not like they're bad or, you know, they don't have the intelligence or whatever.
It's just easy trap to fall into.
But you're saying
don't let it happen.
Don't let it happen because just because our parents or their parents or the ancestors have, and it's always been that way, doesn't mean today it's the way to be anymore. Mm-hmm. So Austin Ward, who did a study at University of Texas Adrian Ward, I'm sorry. He says, one of the most interesting findings is that, on average, at the beginning of a relationship, the two partners are about the same in terms of financial literacy.
Wow.
However, over time, one partner gets better and the other one doesn't, and they might actually even get worse.
That makes total sense, you know, from the way that life just goes.
Right. Which is exactly what you were just saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's easy and you're not, you know, like, I know we've talked about this on other shows of yours that, you know, you're busy and you've been taking care of the kids all day and he's been out, you know, out working and he comes home and you're not going to really, that's not the greatest time to sit down and talk about the finance.
For sure. And you're not going to fight him to get to write the checks and pay the bills because you're already exhausted.
Yeah.
Right? So if he'll do it, you just go, thank you, God. And you just let him do it.
Right.
But I see what you're saying. And there's this sort of erosion that starts happening to your financial knowledge because you're not involved in it. You think that that's just one job you don't have to worry about.
So what? So why this could be a problematic is when the relationship ends,
mm-hmm.
or the household CFO dies,
yes.
or becomes incapacitated, which will leave the non-CFO with the financial skills necessary to thrive.
Mm.
So, and then they're financially, they can be financially, or financial literacy, not have that, and
right.
it could be devastating for them, right?
And now they're in trouble, and I bet that's a lot of the women you see.
Right, right. So like,
Let's say that we will talk about that when we come back from the break, because this is super important.
Absolutely.
And we've only got a short moment here, and I think we need a longer time to discuss those women whose husbands die or they get divorced, and now they have to figure out what to do about the finances. So Sherry Blair will be telling us what to do when we come back from this break. We'll be right back. All right, cool. I'm ready to just keep going. That was cool.
Let's roll. Okay, so yeah, so here we are right here.
We'll talk about that.
So we're not going to do the break. So basically we're here.
So I'll just pick up with asking you.
And then, we'll go right into the tips. Okay.
Good. Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Bless your heart.
And welcome back to Change It Up with Paula Shaw Radio. We are being brought to you today by Tom Palladino, Scalar Energy Healing. This is a state-of-the-art healing method using energy, and you can experience a 15-day free trial by going to freescalar.net. That's freescalar.net. And with me in studio right now is Sherry Blair, another sponsor of this show, Sherry Blair of Sherry Blair Financial Services. And if you're just joining us, we have been talking about actually the danger of a long-term relationship when it comes to financial literacy. Sherry's been explaining how sometimes when one partner sort of is taking that job of handling the family finances, the other one, their knowledge starts to wane. They are not up to speed with what's going on with the family money. And then if they lose that spouse that's been handling it, they're in a very tough place.
Right, right.
Whether it's death, divorce, or what might happen, now suddenly they have to become the family CFO. And they haven't got the skills or the experiential base.
That's right. That's right.
So what do we do, Sherry?
So, you know, what we're talking about is to catch up on several decades, maybe,
mm-hmm.
in some cases, of money know-how.
Wow. That's a big job, I would imagine.
Right. I mean, you know, 10, 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So after, you know, and after, let's say, a painful divorce or a death of a partner or a loved one,
mm-hmm.
As you were saying, that's not the ideal time to start your financial education.
Right. No, because now you're under fire, right? You're under the gun and you got to figure out what to do. Of course, one of the things I would tell somebody in that situation is call Sherry Blair, because you love women and you're all about helping them know what to do with their money and how to make it last. But should they not have you, what are some tips we can give them for what to
do? Right. Well, I think it's important to, like you were saying, in getting to those tips, like, obviously, if we're grieving, you know, I mean, that just...
Mm-hmm. And in a tough emotional situation.
Yeah, that's just going to speed up this crisis that you're in.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so if you're noticing imbalance in your relationship about money, what can you do, as you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's useful to delegate tasks. Mm-hmm. And responsibilities in a relationship. We know that. We've talked about that.
So both people are involved.
Yes, but mm-hmm. I mean, in general, not just financial, but all sorts, you know, all the household,
sharing.
The family, yeah, mm-hmm. the task and the responsibilities. But, you know, depending on your skills, like someone's skills or their interests or their workload, we need to, you know, how can you make sure that both are able to make good financial decisions? Well, I have, like you said, I have some tips I want to share.
Yes, please
do. To all of you out there. So I have three tips to take a look at this. And one is to make financial goals together.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Make the financial goals together.
Yes. So,
and even maybe write them down, right, to make
absolutely,
it more concrete.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's important to start as early, like I was saying, your daughters, my son, mm-hmm. it's important to start early when you're in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
It really is. It's so you can start planning your short-term, your long-term goals, and making financial decisions together.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start a habit of collaborating, okay, on money decisions and matters early in your relationship, before the financial literacy gap mm-hmm. starts to widen, and talk about these decisions and share money tasks, this will help that. This is obviously will help that.
Right. Group. So tip number one, share the goals, create them together. What's number two?
Well, on number one, I just want to also say give the non-CFO some ownership over their financial path. That's very important
okay.
as a couple, because it will empower you to participate as a financial decision maker.
Okay.
And it's important to both parties to do that.
Yes, you know? You should be sharing these
yeah.
decisions.
Okay. So number two would be bring in an extra seat at the table.
What does that mean?
Okay, so that could be, that's a couple different things. So if you're seeing a financial advisor, let's say, mm-hmm. you know, before, you know, you're going to get married, but before you get married, you know, you've already developed a relationship with an advisor or a planner, so on mm-hmm. and so forth, and then you're making the steps to get married. Well, it's important for you to bring your partner, your spouse in to that financial advisor, okay?
Oh, I see.
So make sure that the non-CFO can come to those appointments and encourage your partner to get involved by asking questions.
Okay.
But you could even take it further. So there's financial advisors, there's consultants, like let's say if you're having, like you had a therapist on here talking about divorce. So let's say you are having some issues mm-hmm. with money matters and so on and so forth. There are financial psychologists out there mm-hmm. that you can go to mm-hmm. to discuss, you know, some of these or these issues you're having. And it's you know, even if it's based around finances, sometimes you find it goes into other areas and it's deeper,
right.
But at least that will start cracking the egg open. So that's like mm-hmm. bringing somebody else to the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
and remember that no question is stupid. And I'm speaking to the non-CFO of the family or the partnership. No question is stupid. So because you share your voice and you have a seat at the table, that's powerful. It's very important to gain familiarity with your financial matters, and at these meetings you can help do that, and it can help for a smooth transition if the household CFO is no longer around,
mm-hmm.
right? If he's, you know, if he or she has passed or become incapacitated, I talked about it earlier, or even think about this. What if the financial illiterate partner needs to find their own financial advisor sometime. That means there's yeah. been a divorce or something, right?
Right.
So if you, the more you know, right? Obviously. So that's number two. Number three, I'd say talk about money. That's the third tip. You mm-hmm. need to have regular money conversations with your spouse, with your partner.
That's huge. And I know a lot of people do that, but only when there's an issue, a problem, and then it's an angry conversation.
Right.
So you're saying like this should be like a weekly conversation, a calm conversation
right.
about the money.
Yes, and there's many ways that one can do that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I really like, and I've talked about her, Kathleen Kingsbury.
Yes, let's show them her book.
Her latest book is Breaking Money Silence. It's all about not being silent about money or financial matters. So,
and she's going to be on our show later on in August.
Yes, she is. She's coming on the show. That's really
very excited about that.
Yes, we are excited. Yes,
but you have mentioned, in fact, you've even read me some quotes from Kathleen's book.
I have.
And I love that not only does she encourage the couple to speak to each other, like you were just saying, Sherry, but also parents talking to children about
absolutely.
The family money, too, which in a lot of families is verboten. That never happens,
absolutely.
You know. The children are not supposed to have anything to do with the family money. But I love that she says, no, this is their family. It's part of what is theirs also.
And also, they're growing up, mm-hmm. and they need to know on their own, and they need to be modeled financial literacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for your daughter, son, my son, you know, if they could be modeling, you know, if they have children someday or married and have children, mm-hmm. if they could model financial literacy in the beginning with their mate and partner to their children, imagine how different it would be. And that's, you know, and that's what Kathleen addresses a lot in her Breaking This Money Silence. Mm-hmm. So, I like I said, it's, you know, this way you can ensure that you are on the same, both of you are on the same page.
Yes.
As we talked about that.
And yeah, you don't want to assume that. You want to know that.
Right, sure. Right. And so you have a better understanding of the broader strokes of what's going on in your financial mm-hmm. life. So, you know, and like I said, Kathleen Kingsbury addresses in her book, this book, Breaking Money Silence, the very way to go about having these conversations. Like you said, you know, if you have a conversation and all of a sudden, or, you know, there's a lot of tension mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, you know, things blow up and then you're arguing about finances and that's no way. And then that's always, if that's kind of becomes a pattern. I know it was in my family when I grew up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw my parents go through this and it's like, you know, and we certainly don't want to model that even if we have to our children, but you know, our children don't want to model to their children.
Right.
And we can change. And we can change.
I love this idea that you're presenting that from the beginning, the woman is an equal partner with the finances. Because I think a lot of these fights you describe happened when men felt their toes were being stepped on, you know, or that somebody didn't trust the way they were handling things and that they would that would feel like a personal affront rather than just somebody wanting to understand the whole thing better.
Exactly, exactly.
And if from the beginning they do it the way you've described, that's never going to happen because it just never was his job, her job, his, whatever, you know, everybody shared. I suggest to my clients, couples, that they sit down once a week and have a State of the Union talk. And I love the idea now of incorporating the finances in that State of the
Union
talk.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And Jack Canfield suggests that the talk starts like this. On a 0 to 10, how would you rate our relationship this week? And then they tell you what it is. And then you ask them why, peacefully and calmly. So, Sherry, we are just about out of time. Let's tell these people how they can reach you and about your gift if they contact you.
Yes, yes. Yes, you can reach me at 619-997-0416. That's 619-997-0416. Or you can go to SherryBlairFinancialServices.com. That's Sherry, C-H-E-R-I, Blair, B-L-A-I-R, financialservices.com. And if you'd like to have a chat or reach out to me, I'm happy to share a complimentary free book that it's all about empowering today's woman. So, you know, give me a call, get in touch with me, and we'll make sure that you're taken care of.